Amen. What an awesome job. I'm going to start off this sermon a little bit different. The title of this sermon is New Year, New Start. A lot of people look at the new year as a clean slate, a new chapter, a fresh start. And, you know, a lot of pastors show videos, and that's exactly what I'm going to do this morning. But it's not a two-minute, it's not a three-minute video. It's about a 7 to 8, 9-minute video, but it really sets the foundation. It sets up what God's Word is gonna speak to us this morning. So if you would, sit back and enjoy this for a second.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, His masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't really see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso. It's like, but I want to be His masterpiece. I want to be everything He created me to be. And so I go to Him in prayer and I say, Dear Heavenly Father, do whatever it takes to mold me into the image of Your Son. Make me Your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi.
Whoa.
Who are you? I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am.
You're not God.
No, I am. You said the prayer. It's how it works.
Okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? I really don't want to make it snow in here because it'd get kind of yucky.
Yeah, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is only 5 chapters. It's a very short book.
Oh. Why was it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
I'm really not into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
What gave it away?
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yeah, I do that. Don't I? I did it again. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, what are we doing?
I'm going to make it my original masterpiece. This is the process.
Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah. Wait. What are these about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Okay. Yeah. Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, hey, God. How do you know what to chisel away and what to leave?
I take out everything in your life that doesn't belong there, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of dead weight, could you chisel right here? It showed up when I was in my 20s and grew around and became back fat. I don't even know why you created that, but I can't get rid of it. I mean, I've tried everything. Like, I tried running, I tried lifting weights. My wife actually talked me into trying Pilates. That was awkward. But I can't get rid of it. So if you would just chisel around here, and then, you know what, if you chisel a line right here, and maybe 4 to 5, maybe 8 lines right here. That would be awesome.
You're funny.
You made me that way.
I also made the platypus.
The platypus.
All I'm saying is most of my children, when it comes to this process, they just want to talk, but they don't want to do the work. So do you want to talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel.
No. I choose to chisel.
All right. Through my Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring up things in your life that I want you to work on. Like your anger. I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrong way. You compare yourself to others instead of me. You tell little white lies because you want to people please. You're lazy, but you try to fool everybody by looking really, really busy. You have a problem with lust?
Time out. I don't really have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust?
No, I can do it anytime I want. Hang on a second. I mean, I got to admit, I feel like you've been doing some great work, and I'm looking pretty good right now.
All right, when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away, because ultimately, you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, don't misunderstand me. It's just, when I look more like Jesus, people get uncomfortable around me. I mean, even my church friends, and they're like, oh, you're holier than thou, you know? And I don't think I'm supposed to make people uncomfortable.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
That is not what I said.
It's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. You know everything that I'm thinking. I'm just saying, you've done some great work. Maybe we take a break, a sabbatical from each other, you know? I'll stay right here, and then, you
That's
know...
That's just it. You never just stay right there. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but never you just stay. What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things in your life, or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control,
chisel. No, chisel.
All right.
But can we chisel where I want?
That's called control.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Now, this right here, this secret sin that you keep running to whenever you're hurting, angry, lonely, tired, that you think you're fooling everybody, but it's making you a whitewashed tomb. Are you ready for me to chisel this out of your life?
Yeah.
See, it's a process. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's your whole life. And you care so deeply about what other people think of you. It's rubbish. It's garbage. The greatest thing you're ever going to hear is at the end of your life when you hear me say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what you keep your eye on. That's the prize. Heavenward.
Oh, it hurts.
Oh, trust me. This hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't think you understand this pain.
Pardon me?
You're asking me to sacrifice a lot, God.
Don't talk to me about sacrifice. I know all about sacrifice. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you've been doing for years, these empty wells that don't have anything to offer. You've been going to them, and it's insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life. Allow me to produce character when you keep focusing so much on your image.
Okay, but I was thinking.
Your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Okay, but if we want another way.
Your ways are not my
ways. Oh, I can't.
You can't what?
I can't be good.
That's your excuse. That's your excuse, is that you can't be good.
It's not an excuse. I can't.
Oh, my child. In the beginning, I said it was good. I made you good. Be good.
Yeah. But you and I both...
What?
Nothing.
No, what is it?
Nothing, okay? You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just, I let you down so many times, God.
No, my child. You were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand. Never the other way around. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Okay. Chisel away. Just be prepared for what you're gonna find in there. Because I know who's inside there. Because I get up every morning. And I look at him in the mirror, and I hate who I see. Because deep inside there, this little kid who gets up every morning and dresses like an adult. And I go out and I try to do what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, okay? I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. And so inside is this scared, stupid little kid. But you chisel away, just... be prepared.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that were not for me. And you have totally bought into the lie, haven't you? You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night after you've done the dance to get the hug, you think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't take time to make junk. How can I show you that my love for you stretches as far as the east to the west? How can I show you that my love for you has no end? I know. Reach in your back pocket.
What?
Reach in your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach in your back pocket.
God.
Yes?
I just went, God, I'll do that right now.
You're just saying my name in vain.
Come on. It's a name. It's a saying.
It's a name above all names. It's more than a saying. It's more than a name. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, my God.
Shh. You know what that is?
Yeah, it's a note. I wrote it when I was in college. How did you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead and read it.
I love Angie.
Other side.
Sorry. Dear God, did I hear you right today? Did I hear you say that you love me?
even though you and I both know I messed up so many times. Did I hear you say you want to use me? And I feel so useless. If you'll take me and use me, then God, I give you all that I am. Take me. I love you, God.
I love you too. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. This salvation that you hold, I don't want it to be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And when problems come and chaos happens, don't look at that as a prison, but look at it as a father disciplines his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, but you bought into life thinking everything was going to be easy when you gave everything over to me. There will be trouble in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want you to do something. I want you to look out there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God's.
Not the way you see yourself or you try so desperately for others to see you, but maybe for the first time in your life, the way I see you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
I actually saw that video about 3 years ago. And the skit guys, they travel around. That's who they are. They travel around and do skits and things like that at many different conferences. And they're good at it. And the message of that video speaks to what we're going to talk about this morning. There's a lot of pastors today that are in pulpits this morning that are talking about New Year's resolutions, goals that maybe you've chosen to make for yourself or your family. Maybe you want to travel a little bit more. Maybe you want to spend more time with family. Maybe you want to lose weight. That's the famous one. But this morning, I don't really want to talk about goals and resolutions. I want to talk about what's going to keep you from fulfilling those goals and resolutions. Because there's a lot of times that we say, you know what, make a goal for yourself, make a resolution, make something that you can accomplish. But a lot of times we can't accomplish it because we allow roadblocks, we allow barriers to get in the way from us ever doing what we desire, what God desires for us to do. This morning we're going to look at a familiar piece of scripture. If you go ahead and open up your Bibles to John 4. John 4. If you've been in church for any amount of time, you are probably familiar with this scripture we're going to look at this morning. And before we look at it, I want to challenge you to do something. Not think about what the people next to you are struggling with, but will you be honest with yourself this morning? What's something that you struggled 2013 with? What's something that you're still dealing with today that is keeping you from being where you need to be spiritually, from doing what God's calling you to do? Don't feel ashamed, because I can stand up here and preach all I want this morning, but I'm preaching to myself. I have things that I need to lay at the foot of the cross. I have things that I need to be stripped away so that I can continue to do what God has called me to do. Think about that for a second. Something that needs to be stripped away, something that needs to be removed, so that, you know what, 2013 isn't going to be the same year as 2014. It may be a loss of a family member, something that you're still struggling with, something that you're still dealing with. And you're questioning God, saying, you know what, why? It may be a mistake that you've made, a sin that you continue to struggle with, that keeps you from truly doing everything that God's calling you to do. We say we want the new year to be a new start. We want it to be a fresh page. We want it to be a new chapter in our life. It's difficult for it to be a new chapter. It's difficult to be something new if you continue to do everything that you've done the previous years. The thing that continues to hold you back if you continue to do those things. Let's pray. Father God, we ask you this morning to move. God, we pray right now that the year of 2014 will be a year that you're high and lifted up in our lives. God, that you're glorified in our lives, that we allow you to use us in every way. God, and I pray this morning as we sit in this church building, as we sit with other believers, God, that you will convict our hearts. God, you will make it clear what we need to lay at the foot of the cross. You'll make it clear what we need to surrender this morning. God, you'll make it clear what we need to strip away so that 2014 isn't the same as the years in the past. God, that we will be used by you, that we will give you this year. God, use our church, use us, use our community for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. John 4, verses 5 through 9, say this. It says, eventually he came, he being Jesus, to a Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please, give me a drink. He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. And she said to Jesus, you are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? You know, the first thing that we see here is Jesus tired from a walk. It was probably a long walk. I believe it says that in Scripture. I get tired from a short walk, so I know how he's feeling. Sitting beside this well, and he's thirsty. And like a normal person, he just says, hey, can I get a drink? Can I get a drink of water? And this woman, she's shocked. She's surprised. And she said, why are you asking me for a drink of water? And it wasn't because that, you know, she knew who Jesus was. It was the fact that she was a Samaritan and Jesus was a Jew. And that didn't happen then. If you remember a few months ago, we talked about some traditions meant to be broken. And Jesus did ministry. He did it different than they've ever seen. And people challenged him on it. Well, right here we see Jesus doing it different again. And she questions Jesus, though. That's the part that I want to look at this morning. She questioned Jesus. That sound familiar? Sounds like us. I'm guilty. God, why are you doing this to my family? God, why are you allowing this to happen? God, why are my kids struggling with this? What have I done wrong? God, why did I lose this individual in my family? It was too soon. We question God. We question his intentions. We question his motives. We question his plan. Guys, I can't stand before you today and say, I got it all figured out, because I ain't got the slightest clue. But I know that God does. And I know the more that I question him, the less trust that I'm showing in him. And I think the reason that we question God, the reason we say, God, why? God, why this? Why that? God, why are you allowing this to happen? It's because we have a lack of trust. You know, I'm going to relate this to dating. Some of you dated recently, and some of you, it was a long time ago since you went out on a date. But when you start dating, and you get to know that individual, the first thing that you sit down and do is just, you don't just sit down and lay it all out there. I want to get married by this time. I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to do that. That's not how you usually go about things. You have to build up trust. You have to build up trust. And the more that you get to know this person, the more that you open up your life and allow them to come in. I don't doubt anyone's salvation in this room, but many of you have proclaimed to be a Christian. You've proclaimed to be a follower of Christ. You've proclaimed to be saved. Why aren't we trusting Jesus? Why aren't we trusting Jesus? I think that it boils down to a trust issue. Not necessarily a relationship issue or you're not a Christian, but it's us trusting God's plan even more. When God told me to come to Wildwood, Florida, I said, why? Wildwood, Florida? but I believe that I'm where God wants me to be. Even though I question it, even though I said, why? Even so, you know, I don't want to go there. Why are you taking me away from where I grew up? Why are you taking me away from family? That's not what I want to do. God said, I have a bigger and better plan for you. Just listen to what I'm saying. Church, that's what he's calling us to do this morning. He's saying, listen. Yeah, some of you are going through some tough times. Some of you are struggling big time. Trust me. Just trust me. Don't question why I'm doing it. Don't question the reasons for it. Don't question, you know, what my motives are. Just trust my plan. I'm there with you, church. I struggle to trust sometimes. I say, God, why? God, why? Why are you allowing this to happen? Why are you making me go through this? And sometimes we have those little mini adventures with God, and he's trying to teach us something, or he's taking us down a road, and we get to the end of that tunnel and we say, I got it. I get it. I figured it out. I understand why I had to go down this path. I understand why I had to walk down this road. I understand why you put me through this. I quote this scripture all the time, but all things work together for our good. He's got a plan. Some of you this year, past year 2013, you've struggled with illness. You've been sick. You struggled with maybe a loss of a family member. You struggled with maybe a child going astray. God's got a plan. Just trust him. Trust him. 2014 can be different if you just trust him. Let's move on to the next text. John 4, 10 through 15 says this. It says, Jesus replied, I love this. If only you knew the gift God has for you and who you're speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, she said, and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think that you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and animals enjoyed? Jesus replied, anyone who drinks of this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Please, sir, the woman said, give me this water. Then I will never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come to get this water. Jesus replied to this woman. She said, you know what? If only you knew who I was. If only you knew who I was. She didn't have an understanding of who he was. She didn't grasp who he was. And she said, you know what? Well, how are you going to get this living water? You don't have a rope or a bucket? Again, that shows she didn't understand. And he goes on to say, you know what? I can offer you living water. I can offer you living water, and you'll no longer thirst again. You won't have to come back to this well. You know, I look at things differently sometimes. I try to think that I think outside the box. I think inside the box, and it's just a tiny box that you guys aren't as dumb as me. And I look at this scripture, and I look at it, and I think of something of what Jesus is trying to explain. That living water, where we won't have to come back to that well. I look at that well as a representation of that sin. That young man in the video, when he was chiseling away. Whoa, lust? No, not lust. Yeah, that hurts. Don't take away lust. That's what I look at as. Something that we continually have to go back to fill that void in our lives. This morning, some of you got one well, you got many wells. But each and every day, you're traveling back, back, back. To fulfill that void in your life. And Jesus is saying, if you just drink the living water, you won't thirst again. She didn't understand it. She's like, I won't have to come back to this well to provide water for my family. Church, this morning, we continually go back to that well in our lives to fill that void in our lives when Jesus is just saying, I'm enough. If you just trust me. I'm enough. If you just trust me. The lack of trust. You know, I can understand, because again, I have that lack of trust. I have those moments of weakness sometimes. When you go through struggles, when you go through things, when you deal with difficulties in your life, how it's easy to say, God, why? You know, you're well this morning. It may not be necessarily a sin, but think of your well as this. Something that you keep going to and that's not allowing you to be used by God. Something that you continue to go to that isn't allowing you to be used by God. 2014 can be a different year, church, if you commit to it. You know, we have resolutions. I'm not sure what the statistics are, but I know that a lot of people buy gym memberships, and I used to see my friends post on Facebook. They're saying, all right, all the New Year's resolution people, get out of the gym. It's getting too packed. All right? You know you're eventually going to quit, so you might as well get out. Well, this year, I think that it can be different, not necessarily if we make a goal or a resolution, but if we just commit to trust in Jesus. If we just commit to make our lives a living sacrifice for His glory and do whatever He's calling us to do. That's trust, church. That's trust. I had to trust God to move down to Wildwood, Florida. Mary Hannah had to trust me that I was trusting God to get you moved down to Wildwood, Florida. It's a trust issue, church. If we want to be faithful, if we want to be these followers of Christ that we say that we truly are, we just got to trust Him. Stop going to that well. Get rid of that well. That guy, how many times did the man in the video have to stop? Did God have to stop chiseling because He questioned Him? How many times did He have to stop because He said, God, are you sure this is what you want me to do? This morning, some of you are thinking about that struggle. You're thinking about that thing that we prayed about earlier that's getting in the way between you and God, between you and serving God, between you and you glorifying Him in your life. Got tongue-tied, sorry about that. But this morning, God's saying, you know what? Lay it at the foot of the cross. Leave these doors and start 2014 out as close to me as possible. Start this year out as close to me as possible. Give me everything. Give me your life. Give me your trust. Give me your relationships. Give me everything from head to toe and trust me and I will use you this year. I'll never forget a time in my life where I was struggling. I'm talking about struggling, questioning every little thing. I remember there was a night in my bedroom where I just sat there in my bed and I said, all right, if I'm going to claim to be a follower of Christ, if I'm going to claim to be a Christian, then I just got to start trusting. Because every little thing, I would question. Every big thing, I would question. And I would say, God, I feel like I'm a good person. Why am I going through this? God, I feel like I do good to others. Why am I going through this? And I just felt God's voice. I have a plan. Trust my plan. Trust my ways. Trust my motives. Trust what I'm teaching you. I'm going to quote Facebook. An individual posted this as the new year rolled around and said this. It said, it may be a new year, but that doesn't mean you have to wait 365 days to make a change. It may be a new year, but that doesn't mean that you have to wait 365 days to make a change. Church, this morning, you can make a change. I'm not asking you or begging you to make a decision for Christ. If you haven't, please do. That's where it all starts. But this morning, there's a lot of you who come here regularly. You sit through church services. You sit through prayer meetings. You sit through Sunday school. You sit through invitations every week. And God's saying, lay it at the foot of the cross. Get rid of it. Let me take that burden. And you cling to the pew. You hold on tightly. And you say, I'm not ready to make a change. I'm not ready to give it up. I'm not ready to stop going to that well. You're that individual in the video who said, you know what? Don't chisel that away yet. Don't chisel that away yet. Church, this morning there's no doubt in my mind. I know there's one right here. I'll be the first to raise my hand in a minute. I got something that I need to put at the foot of the cross. And I know there's others that need to do the same thing. We can't commit 2014 in 2014 to make it a new year, to make it a fresh start, if we aren't where we need to be spiritually. You can do all these great things, but I'm sorry, that's rubbish compared to doing something for Jesus. And it starts with you and me recognizing inside of us we have something that's holding us back. But the question is this morning, can you admit it? Can you recognize it? Church, I'm not questioning your salvation, not by any means. I know some of you have been great followers of Christ for 30, 40, 50, some odd years. But that doesn't mean you're not struggling with something. That doesn't mean that you're not going through battles. That doesn't mean that you're not dealing with issues in your life. That's God's calling you and saying, hey, get rid of it. Let me strip it away. Let me put it at the foot of the cross. Get rid of it so that I can use you this year. I don't always do invitation this way, but I'm going to ask you, bow your head, close your eyes. I want to ask you to spend this time with God. As you sit and spend this time in prayer, I challenge you to put on your heart right now the thing that you're dealing with. It may be big, small, or in between. But recognize that sin. Recognize that challenge. Recognize that issue. Recognize that roadblock this morning. Continue to keep your head just bowed and your eyes closed. As Mark comes forward in just a second, we're going to sing a song. I want to be honest with you. I could care less if you stand up and sing. I want you to take this time and make it between you and God. Some of you may feel the need to come forward and just get on your face before God and say, God, I'm giving you this January 5th, 2014, so that this year can be about you. Some of you as a family may need to come forward and say, God, we are giving you this so that 2014 can be different. Some of you may just want to stand with your arms lifted high and say, God, you're mighty. You're awesome. I'm laying this down this morning. Some of you may want to just flip around in your pew, get on your knees. You may just want to stay seated. Do what the Lord is calling you to do. Some of you this morning sitting here, you say, you know what? You've talked about having this relationship with Jesus, starting the year off right. Let me tell you something. If you are not a follower of Christ, you cannot make a better decision. You cannot make a better start to the year of 2014 but by committing your life to Him. As Brother Mark sings this morning, I'm going to ask you to come, move, do what you feel the Lord is calling you to do. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. Thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're doing in our church. We thank you for these people that sit in these pews this morning. But I pray that right now, God, that conviction will pour into our hearts. God, that you will point out, that you will make visible, God, that you will make clear what our well is that we continue to go back to. God, let us surrender that, God. God, I would pray that you just make that heartache, that burden, God, that we will just give us the courage to lay it at your feet. God, put it on you. God, so that 2014 can be different. God, I pray that you give these individuals the courage to do what you're calling them to do. In Jesus' name, amen.